shared a story, said a good friend of mine who had just moved to the U.S. kept hearing about ice cream sandwiches, but never actually saw one in person. He decided to try one on his own by putting ice cream between two pieces of Wonder Bread. He didn't care for it. My father was out smoking when he just moved to the U.S., and he met our mailman. They talked a bit, and when the mailman left, he said, "See you later." My dad stayed outside for about 45 minutes, thinking he was coming back. When my family moved here from the Soviet Union, we were so amazed at the diverse selection in our new U.S. grocery store that we walked around with a video camera recording all the fruit. We still have this tape, which adequately documents just how excited we were about the availability of pineapples. And my dad came to the U.S. 6 months before the rent of the family to get us settled, rent an apartment, buy a car, so on and so forth. When the rest of us arrived, he told us about some differences in America. He told us that in the U.S., the animal tiger is pronounced Tigger in America. Turns out he'd heard about Winnie the Pooh and thought that's the way everyone said the word. And so citizenship, you know, it is an important concept in our world today. When we think of all the privileges we have in being U.S. citizens and how different we are from the rest of the world in terms of privileges that we have. And so therefore, when we think about where Paul is in Philippians chapter 3, where he talks about us being citizens in heaven, you know, in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So the title of this message is, "Do you have your papers?" You know, are you a citizen in heaven? And what does that mean to you? Is the same significance that Paul would give in terms of encouraging the Philippians something that encourages our hearts too? You know, when you think of the word "but" here, it really does highlight the juxtaposition as far as what the next slide says. You know, I don't want to overuse that word "juxtapose," but it's a good word, setting two things side by side for the sake of comparison. But when he talks in verse 19 about their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, clearly Paul is saying we have something better in terms of what the world has, and we don't have to be consumed with human passion. We don't have to glory in things that are wrong. We have a place to go when earthly things don't work out the way we would want, and ultimately hope in what God is and what he has. As we saw last week what this word citizenship means, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament, and it was used to designate a colony of foreigners or relocated veterans whose purpose was to secure the conquered country for the conquering country by spreading abroad that country's way of doing things. You know, the next slide just reinforces they were citizens of the conquering country, but operating in a foreign land. I like what one commentator says, as Gerald Horthen writes, "Each local church is really a colony of heaven, its members enjoying full citizenship of the heavenly city, but charged with the responsibility of bringing the world to the knowledge of the sovereignty of Christ." So think about that. We are transplants. We are foreigners, ultimately. We should not be surprised that things are different in terms of what the world does, the way the world thinks, and the way we would think as believers. But I really do think there's a great picture in terms of all that we are in Christ. You know, what opportunities that gives us when we are living in this world and we don't like what's happening or whatever it might be, to recognize I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, you think about when you're in a foreign country, if you ever have been there, and when you think about all the things we have as Americans, whether you've, you know, been in a repressive country or a country that's not as prosperous, whatever it might be, and do you ever find yourself saying, "Boy, I wish that these people had the legal system we had, or the freedom we have, or the free elections we have"? Like, would you think in terms of being in a communist country and saying, "Hey, you know something? You know, having a free election is great. Capitalism is a wonderful thing." To think about any individual can have an idea and maybe get a loan from the bank and do something in terms of prospering themselves and not having the government owning the means of production so that you have to ask their permission to do something. I mean, could you imagine, you know, being in a place where you would try to talk about America? Hopefully you would, because what we have here is pretty special. But think about what it means to be a citizen of heaven. Think about what it means when you understand the things of God and there's an opportunity to defend his ways, promote his ways, speak to his ways. That's the whole point of what Paul is trying to make in terms of what it means for us. I mean, in some ways, us being a citizen in heaven, I think first and foremost, is to undergird us, to encourage us, to build us up in the primary reality. Like, you would think about all the things, you know, I think in some ways, as U.S. citizens, we kind of get familiar with what it means to be a U.S. citizen. Like, we don't recognize the value that comes from it. You know, sometimes in many ways, think about how, you know, someone that's not a citizen, how they feel. Like, they feel like they're not quite in. Like, they're not quite, you know, able to access all the things that we have as Americans. And yet, how greater that is when it comes to being a citizen of heaven. You know, all the things that come to us in terms of all that God is and all that God provides. You know, it's even interesting to think about Paul using this word again, the only time in the New Testament he uses this word, and using it in the city of Philippi, because citizenship was a big deal in Rome and in Philippi. Philippi actually had attained the highest status possible in terms of what a region could be defined as. You know, when you think about even, you know, Paul speaking of the rights that he had as a Roman citizen, you remember that time in Acts where, you know, someone was going to beat him, and he said, you know, wait a minute, you can't beat me. Would you do this to a Roman citizen? And the person said, well, what do you mean? It was a prefect or something like that. I didn't know you were a Roman citizen. How could you, a Jew, be a Roman citizen? Did you buy your citizenship? No, Paul said, I was born a citizen. And so again, that was even a higher echelon of what the Roman world would think about in terms of citizenship. But what you also find in the way that Romans handled governance of their empire, there were certain standards or statuses that different regions could have. And in Philippi, they had the highest status that you could have, where being born in Philippi was the same as being born in Rome. That's the status that Philippi had. And so therefore, if Paul is talking about being a citizen of heaven to the Philippians, they would be people that would say, what do you mean? We're citizens of Philippi. We're citizens of Rome. Don't you know who we are? Don't you know who you're talking to? We have the highest status that anyone could have in terms of the Roman world. What do you think? What are you saying? There's something better. And yet that's what Paul is saying, that far better than being a citizen of this world, a citizen of Philippi, you are a citizen of heaven, that you are identified with God and his glory and his power and his provision in your life. You know, again, it's an identification. It speaks to who you are in terms of what you regard yourself as, what God regards you as in terms of that. I mean, certainly, in our modern day, we see that citizenship is important in our country too, in terms of, you know, just different opinions about what we do about immigration and so on and so forth. But to think about how many people want to be a citizen of the United States, people going to the nth degree to get to a place where they become a citizen of the United States, and yet to be a citizen of heaven, all it takes is to believe in Jesus Christ. All it takes is to come to him, recognize your need for salvation, recognize the gap that exists between you and God, and how Jesus is the only way to fill that gap. That is only by virtue of Jesus dying on the cross and paying for your sin and my sin on his physical body, so that when he paid the penalty that sin deserved, now we can gain salvation, we can gain Christ's righteousness, we can be made right with God simply by believing in Jesus. And so therefore, it doesn't take crossing a river or sacrificing your family or scaling a wall or coming in the cloak of night. It's simply by believing. But now when we believe, all the things we have because of the fact that we are citizens of heaven. You know, you think about when it comes to being a citizen, it really does come with rights and responsibilities. You know, you do think about how more comfortable you are as a U.S. citizen when something goes wrong as opposed to someone that's here on a visa. You know, you get pulled over as a United States citizen by a policeman and you're not thinking anything. You just have a visa, you're an undocumented alien, whatever. And now all of a sudden, that police stop is a nerve-wracking thing in terms of just the insecurity, the fact that you're not connected. Again, you're not accepted fully in terms of the status. And to know that in Christ we are, in terms of all the rights that we would have, the responsibilities naturally that it would call us to. You know, let's talk about the rights first. We can turn to Revelation 21, 1 through 5, which gives a great picture of heaven and what awaits us eventually in our lives. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Hallelujah is right. But again, that is pointing to the future. But what basically Paul is saying here is we grasp hold of that today in terms of what we think in terms of our lives. What makes me important? What makes me valuable? What do I trust in? What am I expectation based in? Again, think in terms of what you receive being a U.S. citizen and what you receive as a citizen of heaven. Now, you think about the rights and responsibilities that would come as an American citizen. You know, it would be you're a law-abiding citizen, right? You're doing the things that the community of people have decided this is the right way to act. You don't murder. You don't steal. Really, it's like the Ten Commandments. You know, you don't do things in terms of expressing your freedom that takes away someone else's freedom. And yet the great freedom we have as Americans to express ourselves, to have freedom of thought, to have freedom of religion, to have a right to vote, to have freedom of speech. Well, look at all those rights, but then the responsibilities that come as those acting correctly between each other. And so think about the responsibilities we have as citizens of heaven. Again, how well are we representing God? How well are we thinking in terms of, boy, all the benefits that do come? I mean, we talked to the people that shared testimony, talked a lot about just the benefits that come that to have the knowledge of God, even to have that hope of heaven. I think it's a great thing to know that if I died tomorrow, I would be in a better place. And so therefore, regardless of the age you are, we do not have to fear death. You know, I remember when COVID came around, thought I had toward COVID is, I guess if I'm going to live on this earth, I guess I have to be able to face that. And beyond that, it's like, who cares? Because it doesn't matter. Like, in other words, whatever disease is out there, whatever harm is out there, okay, you know, if I'm going to live, I'm going to live. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And that's how free that we can be in terms of perceiving things that we would think otherwise would be dangerous. And we're not foolish. We're not reckless. But again, we don't have to cling to our lives like it's the end, you know, it's the important to the nth degree, because what matters is we're a citizen of heaven. But then what that means in terms of the confidence, the assurance, the hope that we have in terms of what God is orchestrating in this world. You know, I think the question that confronts us in terms of being a citizen of heaven is, which are we more oriented to? Which citizenship do we value more? Are we more connected to the things of this earth, or are we connected to the things of heaven? You know, when you think about the stuff we would have in this life, if we can go to the next slide, we'll finish this. I mean, it's one thing to have the stuff of the earth. It's another thing to need it. Let me describe to you what the stuff of the earth is. I'm not just talking about possessions. I'm not just talking about the things we could own and the material things. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about your status in life. I'm talking about anything that is about your finiteness, about the fact that you are physical in nature, and there are things that you know that make you happy, things that make you sad, you feel better about yourself, you feel better about your life. So whatever it might be, in terms of you can have the stuff of the earth, and it's fine. I think part of God's blessing comes as the stuff of the earth. But you know, your relationships, your family, your house, all of that is involved in the stuff of the earth. And to me, what it means to be a citizen in heaven, if you have that stuff, it's one thing to have it, it's another thing to need it. It's one thing to have stuff, it's another thing to be afraid of losing it. You know, that's a big thing about how much you need something is if you're afraid to lose it. And again, think about that. That has to do with your health. That has to do with your relationship. That has to do with your children. That has to do with anything in your life that you would be connected to, needing, desperate for, that I'm afraid to lose it. It's one thing to have stuff. It's another thing to identify yourself by it. That the thing that makes me important, the thing that makes me valuable, is because of the stuff of the earth. You know, there are some people that have just learned, like negative thing about being successful and having things, like being a skilled person or an intelligent person or a beautiful person, and all of a sudden you start identifying yourself because I am those things. Look at it, people regard me because I'm the smartest person, I'm the strongest person, I'm the most athletic person, and you get used to getting affirmation based in that. And then you get 40, you get 50, you get 60. Then you say, well, all of a sudden, I'm not the smartest person anymore. I'm not the most beautiful person anymore. I'm not being regarded for that thing anymore. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what do I identify myself by? And that's what being a citizen of heaven. What matters is you're a citizen of heaven, and you really need nothing else besides that in terms of what God offers you in declaring that about you. I mean, it's one thing to have stuff. It's another thing to compare yourself to others based on it. You know, I think this is just a natural way that that happens. There was a point, you know, I've got to finish this off. I know. There was a point, I had said as a pastor, there are certain cars that a pastor should not drive. You know, not an Audi, Mercedes, maybe Corvette. I'll think about that. But one of them was a Lexus. A pastor does not drive a Lexus. Well, it turns out that his family was looking to get rid of a used car, and it's a Lexus. And so I buy a Lexus, and now I'm driving a Lexus. I can tell you that as I started having thought, look at me, I'm driving a Lexus. You know, like you don't want it, you don't mean it, but it's just natural for that. Like, look at what I have compared to other people. Again, you shun those things away. You say, no, that's not what identifies with me. That's not what makes me important. But the concept that I cling to is I'm a citizen of heaven. That's what matters. And let's just give this last thought. Being a citizen of heaven also helps when you don't have stuff, or evil seems to have the upper hand, or life is just hard. You know, whatever space you're in, whatever frustrations you have, whatever struggles you're undergoing, whatever problems you face, there's a greater glory that God would point you to, that you are a citizen of heaven. Again, you have rights and privileges there in terms of, like citizenship has to do with, like, this is what my surroundings are. This is what my benefits are. This is how I think about myself, that I'm connected in this way. You know, and the difference between being connected and unconnected is big. So to know that God has declared that through Jesus Christ, we are citizens of heaven. And so therefore, there's great encouragement that should come from that. You know, naturally, Paul goes on here in terms of just reinforcing the value of what comes as a citizen in heaven in terms of awaiting a Savior and then what he will accomplish on our behalf. But I think it's enough for this morning just to think in terms of all that we are, all that we declare, all that we define, all that we promote, all the things that we would grasp hold of in terms of what is the last resort I mean, it's a first resort, but in terms of when everything else is bad, what can I still think of? That I'm a citizen of heaven. And so by definition, that means God's presence in my life, God being on my side and working on my behalf, and him having the right to do whatever he wants. You know, we're not even dependent on how God will answer prayers. You know, because, again, it's his purview in terms of what he decides. And that is the ultimate statement of faith. The ultimate statement of faith is, God, you decide how you work. And so, therefore, you answer the prayer in this way, you're still great. You answer the prayer in that way, you're still great, because the bottom line is you're still great. The fact that we're citizens of heaven is God says, I connect you to the great. You're involved in the great. You have rights and privileges in the great. And that is what Paul is encouraging these Philippians and us with this morning. And so let's bow and let's pray. And so, Father, we just do thank you for just the standard, the status we have as believers, being citizens of heaven, that we aren't connected to this earth in the way that the world is connected to this earth. We have very light grasps on things and people and relationships and different things. And what that gives us in terms of hope, what that gives us in peace, what that gives us in joy, what that enables us to direct people to. Father, I pray that we would recognize ourselves as emissaries of your kingdom, emissaries of those that would represent you well, to direct people to the benefits, to the value, to the truth of who you are, and welcoming people to be citizens of heaven as well. And so, Father, we lift this all before you in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.